do you know more, your strengths or your weaknesses? Which do you feel like you should work on, your strengths or your weaknesses? In today's episode, I am going to be going against all conventional advice and breaking protocol. And I'm going to say, do you have some weaknesses? So what? We're going to use the so what approach so that you can get clarity and be able to make some decisions on what weaknesses you might want to work on and which of your weaknesses are, so what? Hey, welcome everyone back for another episode of I Meant to Do That. You're listening to episode 20, and we are tackling the problem of our weaknesses. We all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. If you have ever struggled with trying to figure out what to do with your weaknesses, if you feel like you really are supposed to be working on them and getting them better, identifying them, this is the episode for you because I have the answer to that question for you. By the end of this episode, you're going to have so much more clarity on strengths and weaknesses. It's going to blow your mind. So we actually started this conversation in episode 19. So if you have not heard that one yet, it's okay. You can keep listening right now, but make sure that you go back and catch what we talked about in episode 19. I have so much that I want to share with you, so let's just jump right in. So I've mentioned before I have four kids. Three of them are technically by age adults. One is in college, so, you know, adult, but not completely off and on her own. And then I have one teenager that's at home. Well, last night, my teenager left the house and jumped in a car and drove off with a friend. The friend was driving and they went off to go to movies and a movie and out to eat with a bunch of friends. No mom was driving. I wasn't dropping him off. This was my son going off with a friend in his car. And it made me just stop for a second. And I thought, okay, I should be terrified because here's my baby going off in someone's Mustang. And I'm just sitting here trusting that all will go well. But I wasn't that nervous. I actually felt fine. I'm pretty sure it's because I've already done this three other times. I've already sent off my kids to movies with friends and to camp and to college and to the military and to Iraq. So I've already kind of worked myself through those milestones. But what really did hit me was the realization of now where I am in life. This is a whole new phase. My last child is entering that warp speed mode where it's a track forward, far away from mom and doing things with friends and just expanding that independence. And it's a good thing, but it's a hard thing. And I don't know how to handle this next phase. I don't know how to do it. So while I did have that strength for being able to let him go and enter into this phase, yes, but I have never walked these steps where it's my last child and I am working myself out of the job of motherhood, at least what motherhood looks like when you have kids at home. That has begun and there's no stopping it. That train has left the station and it's, you can't stop it. So if you've already launched all of your kids and you're there, you're in that empty nest stage, hey, I welcome and I accept any and all advice and tips on how to manage this transition. It's not one of my strengths and it couldn't be because I haven't developed what I need to grow it and strengthen it. Well, we are talking today about strengths and weaknesses, and I feel like it's a very important conversation because the majority of us believe and feel like we really ought to be working on our weaknesses and we should be dissatisfied with where we're at unless we can call it a strength. In episode 19, just the one before, I mentioned that there are four realities that are true for all of us, and how we interact with them is very important, especially if you're a perfectionist. Here are the four. We all have time limitations. Number two, we all have hard times and pain. We all have our weaknesses, which is what we're going to be cueing in on today. And we all have values, things that are important to us, even if we're not consciously aware of them and can name them. We all have values. Okay, so let's look more closely at how we respond to our weaknesses, because how we respond to our weaknesses makes a very big difference in how life goes for us, especially because we can take our entire life and make it about getting better and about identifying our weaknesses and trying to work on them and develop them until they move into the strength zone. We could spend our whole life having that be our focus, even without choosing to do it. It can be like autopilot. We come toe-to-toe with our weaknesses all the time. So sometimes it might be at work or in your college class when you have this new thing that you're supposed to already know how to do, it seems like. Or maybe it's something at home that you're trying to tackle and we come upon something that we just can't do well. It's definitely a weakness. We also will see our weaknesses when we notice that someone else is really good at it. And then it's very easy and almost instantaneous that we reflect inward and we're like, I can't do that. And so we get this automatic response. It seems rational even to respond like, oh yeah, I need to work on that. Oh, I stink at this. I really need to get better. I really should get better at it. We face our weaknesses all the time. And so we're always needing to respond and we make choices all the time. But many times the choices that we make about our weaknesses aren't thought through. They're not intentional. Maybe they're on autopilot. When we decide to ourselves, okay, I'm going to choose to work on this weakness, but I'm not going to do it now. And I'm not going to make a plan. And I'm not going to think it through. I'm going to put it off. I'm going to procrastinate it. I don't know what to do with it, but you made it important enough to tell yourself and shame yourself that I really should work on it. It settles into this place. And sometimes it comes up again and we have to deal with it again. And then it settles back in that place of one day, I'm going to work on this weakness. And then that one day place can feel like another failure, another thing that we didn't follow through on, something that is wrong with us. So the so what approach is so helpful because we need to really look at our weaknesses and be able to choose for real, is this something I care about or is it a so what? Have you ever stopped to think about how you define weakness for yourself? Like, what does it mean when something is a weakness? How do you know if it's a weakness or a strength? How do you know? So today we're going to just say that a strength is something that you already know is useful and you benefit from it because you have it and you own it and you can do it. Now, a weakness is everything else. So if it's not in a strength, it's a weakness. However, it's pretty important to point out that just because something is a weakness, it doesn't mean it's devoid of all strength. Like it just poof, there's no strength at all there. That's not true. So hold that in your head. Think about that. That's kind of an interesting perspective, isn't it? And we'll let that be our reality while we go through and explore how to use the so what approach. There are three different categories of strengths and weaknesses. And the so what approach will work for two of them and not for the other one. So I'll explain those real quick for you right now. It's pretty simple. You can have a weakness that prevents you from doing a task. And it's something that you never learned how to do, or maybe you tried, but you never got the hang of it. You didn't really understand how to do it. And these are the hard skills, They're more the things that you could learn. You could open a book and learn how to do it. You could take a class, watch a YouTube video. You could go to college and learn this skill. And it's measurable. If you're weak at a hard skill, you'll figure it out pretty quickly when you try to do it. So hard skills are things like changing oil in the car, changing your tires, being able to use an editing software for photography, sewing, carpentry, being able to bake a loaf of bread, Excel spreadsheets, gardening. These are the things that we pick up from others and we're taught, or we go out and we need to learn them. And now we also have the category of those strengths that are more like the soft skills or the attributes and traits. And we could really talk a lot about this because there's different categories that people put these soft skills or attributes or traits into, but for our purposes, we're just going to talk about it very generally. So these are the things that some of them you're born with, and others are things that are developed in you and you acquire as you go through life. And maybe you pick things up because of your family culture, or you have different life experiences and you develop them. But many scientists believe that about 50 to 60% of your traits and attributes, you're just born with. You have nothing to do with it. It just comes with the package of you. If you have a weakness that lands in the soft skills, attributes, and traits, they can be learned and they can be grown, but it's more difficult. It definitely isn't in the same way of learning how to change the oil in your car. And it does take a concerted effort and a decision to make changes to behavior, and a person has to be open to feedback. Bestopedia says that coaching is one of the most common and effective methods for improving your soft skills. So if you want to improve your soft skills, I have the exact program for you, but I also will help you work through the so what to determine, do you have to grow this soft skill? Do you need this attribute and this trait? And it's also important to know, how much do you need to grow this? What level of success do you need? And that's also important because we don't want to be trying our whole life making it about trying to be the best at everything. One of the things that I use with my clients is a specific assessment that helps people see and understand their traits and their attributes and their soft skills and also their emotional intelligence. And when I am about to give that assessment, I send out a pre-coaching form and I ask them, what is it that you would really like to gain from this tool and our time together? And I would say 75% of the time, the people say, I want to identify my weaknesses and I want to get better at them. That is just how we believe and how we think about these weaknesses. And we're shooting ourselves in the foot when we just automatically think, I've got to get better at all the things I am not good at. Some of the traits and the attributes, you're never going to get to a strength level. You can try your hardest and work yourself to death about it and drain all your energy, but it's not going to happen. You aren't going to be able to do it because you are you. One example is for myself. One attribute I don't have is efficiency. I am not a highly efficient person. People who know me do not describe me as someone who's very efficient. I don't have excellent time management skills. I don't do things in a way that is the most efficient way. So here's the thing. Don't put me in a job that requires that attribute and that trait, because I am going to let you down. Now, some people have efficiency. They're born with it, or they've done a lot of work to get it better. But you know what? It's okay that I'm not efficient, because I have other attributes and traits that someone else doesn't have then. And if I tried to be efficient, I would lose some of those strengths. And so if we try to be everything, it's not good. Another thing that, you know, this really was a light bulb moment for me when I was studying for one of my certifications. If the graph for one of my tools comes back and it shows that a person is high in each of the categories of the attributes and the traits, it's a flunked assessment. Basically, that's the only way that you can bomb this assessment is if you try to be everything and I have to come back. It's never happened, but I would have to come back to a client and say, hey, let's retake this assessment. Let me give you some better instructions on how to take it. Because what that would reveal, according to the developers and the researchers of this assessment tool, that this person believes that they need to be everything and they need to be excellent in all of the areas. And they're trying so hard to answer all of the questions in a way that shows themselves as being everything. We cannot be everything. We can't. It's going to wear us down and it's going to make us push down and subdue our strengths. So when we look at the things we feel like we're bad at them, we are recognizing we're bad at them, we immediately think, this is something I should be good at. Maybe you know you don't have to be great at quantum physics, so it's no big deal. But think about those tasks, though, in the hard skills that you kind of shame yourself about it and you feel like, oh, I should be good at that. So sourdough bread. I'm seeing all of these posts about my friends who are mastering sourdough bread. And you know what? I actually want to. I want to get better at baking, very expensive in the bakery. And so I'd rather not buy it. I'd rather make it from scratch, I think. When we come toe to toe with our weaknesses, it's something we know we aren't good at it. We don't have it. What many of us do is we moralize it and we spiritualize it. And I know we do it because I've had so many conversations with women over the years. I've had heart-to-heart conversations in my coaching practice. And I know the conversations that I'm having with myself in my head. We moralize it, we spiritualize it. And that's what makes us feel that guilt, like, I can't accept that I can accept this, that this just is, and it's okay. Think about the bread baking. Do we moralize that we can't bake bread? Yeah, we do. We can moralize that and feel like I would be a better mom, I'd be a better wife, I'd be a better woman, whatever, if I baked bread. I'd be a better economist, I would be more responsible if I baked bread. We moralize it. Do we spiritualize things? Yeah. So one of the things that we do is we take those traits and attributes and we make it spiritual, like it is our flaw that we don't have it. You can find lists of these attributes and traits and soft skills, and they can get to over 700 words. 700. Do you want to spend your life working on developing these 700 traits in your life? You aren't going to live long enough. Here's just a handful of the traits that you could see as weaknesses in yourself: pioneering, visionary, persuasive, poised, patient, consistent, deliberate, cooperative, conventional, disciplined, procedural, accurate, innovative, trusting, open-minded, casual, fun-loving, responsible, diplomatic. I will break it to you gently. You cannot have all of these attributes as strengths. You just can't. But we spiritualize it and make it feel to ourselves like we're supposed to. And that's what God expects of us, as if our whole purpose of being on this earth is to perfect ourselves and to keep working on ourselves so that we have all of these traits and attributes near perfect. That's an exhausting way to live. So exhausting. And you know what? You're never going to succeed at it. You're never going to make it. When it comes to our strengths and our weaknesses, we're usually pretty simplistic about it. We recognize that something is a strength. It goes in the strength bucket. We recognize that something is a weakness, and it goes into the weakness bucket. We're not looking at it in a more strategic way, like how strong is this strength? Where does this strength show up? how weak is this weakness, and where does this weakness show up? Now, something else about this weakness bucket is we tend to let those weaknesses sit in there, but we might intend, or we think we intend, to do something about it. And so we'll take out a weakness, we'll look at it, and we'll think, I really need to do something about this. I really, really ought to grow this and change this. But then we don't. We procrastinate about it. We don't have the time for it. It doesn't really match with what we're doing and where we are in life. Or we even give it a go and we work hard and try to develop this into a strength, but it seems impossible. It's just something is stuck here and we can't put our finger on it. And so we drop it back in the bucket and it sinks way down. And that weakness joins a lot of other weaknesses that have been through that same cycle. And those are the weaknesses that feel like a moral failure, a spiritual failure, because we've tried and retried. And now it feels like this guilty, shameful, embarrassing thing. And that is all just, it's just yuck. And so we need to break that cycle. The so what approach is perfect for helping us change the way that we are thinking about our weaknesses. Now, before I go further, let's just pause for a minute, because I told you that the so what approach works for two of the three categories of our weaknesses. It can work for the hard skills, the learned things that are measurable. It can work for the soft skills or attributes or traits that are harder to work on, but you can. And then the third category that the so what does not work for are just negative character deficits in you. We're going to put those aside and on the shelf. And those are things like, you know, you just have a propensity to gossip and to spread rumors about people, or maybe you lie a lot, you're deceitful, you are, I don't know, maybe you go and you steal things. So those kind of traits, we are not talking about those right now. I mentioned earlier that just because it's a weakness, it doesn't mean that it's void of any strength. And we tend to forget that when we're looking at it. And so when you come upon your weakness, remember that some of them, you can't do it at all, like quantum physics. It's in the basement level. It's just at the very bottom. And you can ask yourself, so what, that I can't do that? Does it matter to me? Does it make a difference to what I am trying to do and my goals? Does it work with my values? Think about the time you have. Sure, it would be nice. Do I have the time to invest, or is that getting me off track? I have limited time. I have limited energy. And also, I have these problems right now. Do I need quantum physics in order to manage the problem or the pain that I have right now? Maybe you do, but maybe you can outsource the quantum physics to someone else. Maybe there's other solutions versus you having to have that strength. Well, let's say you can do quantum physics. You're really good at it. You have a PhD. Well, then you're in the penthouse. You're on level 30, you're on the 30th floor. That's the penthouse, executive suites. This is your thing. But there's a lot of floors in between, from the basement to the 30th floor. And wherever you see your weakness makes a difference. And here's the thing, we all have a different way that we're going to measure those weaknesses. And sometimes we don't even measure it at all. We just think, I'm really bad at it. We get frustrated. We put it in the bucket. We let it sit down to the bottom, think it's something I'm going to work on later, all of that. But maybe you're at level 10. Maybe you're on the 10th floor. It's something that you can dabble in it. It's not in the basement. So that's another thing to consider when you're looking at your weaknesses, wondering, should I really work on it? Maybe you determine, you know what, with the bread baking, I'm going to level that up, maybe like just a couple levels and see what I think. I have the time. I have the resources. I don't need to master it. I don't need to sell it to my neighbors and somehow monetize it, which I know some of you think that way. I can just learn how to make bread at this level. Now, at the soft skills, again, this is the same. I'm going to go to my own personal example of efficiency. It is a weakness. Is it in the basement? No, it's not in the basement. I can be efficient, but only in certain areas and only during certain times of my life can I be efficient. It drains me to be efficient, and especially when it comes to interacting with people. I have different strengths that are operating and firing, and efficiency would take away from those strengths. So when I look at efficiency and I see someone who's accomplishing so much in their day, they have that ability to clean their house in an hour from top to bottom because they're efficient. I'm like, oh, I want to learn that. I wish I could clean my house from top to bottom in an hour. How can I develop this trait of efficiency? Well, I already know about myself that I can't. I can only get that so far. It's not in the basement, but it's at the level where it is. It's never going to be in the penthouse. I'll never have it. I just won't. And so what am I going to do? I need to clean my house. I'm not going to set myself thinking I have to do it in an hour or even 2 hours or have my house always clean. Instead, I need to recognize efficiency is my weakness and I'm going to work with my weakness. I am not going to put my time and energy and my heart into having the trait of efficiency. I'm not going to, because I want to put my time and my energy and my heart into building up my strengths, the strengths that are already there that I have, that I value, that I use them in my work. I use them in my personal life. I want to cultivate my strengths. This weakness, I'm not going to cultivate it and it's going to be okay. Someone who values efficiency might not like that about me. I might not be able to do that job. This person might not think I'm a very good friend if I'm not efficient. I'm not the right match for them. And that's okay. So I need to recognize I have this weakness. I'm going to work with it. So therefore, I'm going to make a schedule and I'm going to set different parameters that works for who I am rather than trying to become somebody that I'm not. So are you a very warm and open person that people just can come up to you and you naturally can strike up a conversation and you're a good listener and that stands out about you and you're comfortable, you can do the small talk, people just enjoy your presence because you're inviting and you're open and you're warm? Is that you? If it's not you, do you ever feel guilty that you can't be that way? Do you ever feel like that's a moral failure? Do you ever feel like it's a spiritual failure? Because in your mind, you feel like God has called all of us to be like that. We're supposed to be that person. Well, if that's the case, I just want to give you some good news right now. So what? So what if you aren't? So what if that's a weakness? So what? It's okay. Someone else can do that. That doesn't have to be your job. That doesn't have to be your strength. That doesn't have to be you. But Carrie, I really should be more warm and open. Okay, let's say you ought to. Let's say you should. Let's just go there for a minute. We ask the so what, and you're like, yeah, so what? I really want to develop more of those attributes, and I want that to be a strength. Okay, you probably have a valid reason, and the valid reason is something that you truly value, or maybe it's something you feel really called about, or it's part of your mission. And one example would be you're a mom. You're a mom, and you recognize this is low for you. It's down at maybe the third floor. And so you want to grow this into more of a strength because this is hitting your values. You love your kids. You have this vision in your mind. You know exactly the kind of relationship that you want to cultivate with your kids. You see it in your friend. You see how she interacts and you admire it and you see the fruit of it. You're like, this is something I need more of. I know it's low. I might not be in the penthouse with this one, but I want to have it with my kids. So develop it. Do that. But now let's see who you are at work. All right. Now do you have to take that same trait and use it at work? Be that person who is open and you just are warm and inviting at work? Does this have to be you everywhere? Well, that would be if this is in the penthouse. This is like you have this at level 25 to 30. It's just going to happen. But you don't have to. You don't have to be that person at work. Maybe what you are really good at is just keeping your focus on your job and you're efficient and you get things done and you can see what needs to happen. You're detail oriented. And that's where you are at work. Let someone else use their strength to be the person that people go to with their problems, because that would drive you crazy anyway. That's just not you. And that's okay. Is it a moral failure that you aren't that person at work? No, it's not. Is it a spiritual failure that you are not that person at work? I say, no, it's not. Neither one. You guys, we can kill ourselves trying to have all of those attributes and all of those traits and even all of those hard skills that we come across that seem so helpful and so cool to be able to do, but we're going to get way off track. We're going to be exhausted. We're not going to have any energy left. We're going to be cranky and we're going to be missing out. We're going to be missing out on what life can be like when you're free. Now, are you going to come across weaknesses that you feel like it's important to do something about? Probably, for sure, of course. Ask the so what. Use the so what approach to open up those questions that need to be answered. And I promise you, this is what's going to happen. You are going to find that there are some weaknesses that you don't really need to grow. You don't have to change them because you have some strengths that you can use to adapt. You can work with that weakness. And you're going to also find some weaknesses that you really value and you know it. You want to level those up and you want to grow them. Now, if it's a hard skill, that's one thing. When it's those attributes and soft skills, that's going to take some effort and you're going to need to be open-minded and receptive and have the ability to self-reflect. So coaching is perfect for that. And not only can coaching help you work through that process and even help you figure out the whole so what's, but it also can get you there more quickly. But that actually reminds me of a quote that I read earlier this week, and I have to share it. It says, "There is nothing so useless as doing efficiently that which should not be done at all," by someone named Peter Drucker. I'm quite passionate about it because I know what a difference this has made in my life and in other people's lives. And you know, just use that so what approach and you are going to find yourself enjoying more freedom. Freedom to be intentional about what weaknesses really matter. You can't get good at everything. You're also going to know really what level do you need to get them to, because just because it's a weakness doesn't mean it's devoid of all strength. And you now have the freedom to know if you are trying to level up some of these weaknesses, but you know they're just not at all a part of your DNA, it's going to exhaust you. And so you don't have to do it everywhere and every place with everyone. Just because you have a weakness that you're leveling up, it doesn't mean that you have to get it to that penthouse where it is your signature strength that you can use across platforms everywhere. Okay, I just am gonna let you go and try it. So go try it next time you bump up against one of your weaknesses. And remember, nobody is like you. No one has the exact combination of strengths and weaknesses that you do. We're all different by design, and it's a good thing. Thank you so much for listening. The best way that you can support this podcast is by hitting subscribe or like wherever you're listening to your podcast. Leave a rating and a review, and also send these out to your friends. You'll find links to all of the resources mentioned today in the show notes. Visit carriegoodman.com. On my website, I offer free resources as well as opportunities for group coaching, workshops, and soon-to-be courses, so check that out. Remember, it's for freedom that Christ set you free. Be yourself. Enjoy today. This world needs you. Till next time.